So now we continue. Still 1937, February 11. Today is Friday. During Mass, I suffered pain in my body, in my hands, my feet, and my side. Jesus is sending this kind of suffering that I may make the reparation for sinners. The pain is brief, but very severe. I do not suffer for more than a couple of minutes, but the impression remains for a long time and is very vivid. Today I feel such desolation in my soul that I do not know how to explain it even to myself. I would like to hide from people and cry endlessly. No one understands a heart wounded by love, and when such a heart feels itself abandoned and teary, no one can comfort it. O souls of sinners, you have taken the Lord away from me. But all right, you get to know how sweet the Lord is, and let the whole sea of bitterness flood my heart. I've given all my divine comforts to you. So the pain of Jesus, mainly not because of physical pain, because of sinners, cold heart, hard-heartedness. And that's what Jesus makes Jesus suffer. There are moments when I instruct myself, when I feel my own weakness and wretchedness in the most profound depths of my own being. And I've noticed that I can endure such moments only by trusting in the infinite mercy of God. Patience, prayer, and silence, they are what give strength to the soul. So remember, patience, prayer, and silence. It helps. There are moments when one should be silent, and when it would be inappropriate to talk with creatures. These are the moments when one is dissatisfied with oneself, and when the soul feels as weak as a little child. Nobody can console you except the Lord. Then the soul clings to God with all its might. At such times, I've solely by faith, and when I feel strengthened by God's grace, that I'm more courageous in speaking and communicating with my neighbors. In the evening, the Lord said to me, "My child, rest on my heart. I see that you have worked hard in my vineyard." And my soul was flooded with divine joy. So at the time Jesus gave us some pain to share with him, to offer for sinners, take it with patience, prayer, and silence. February 12, 1937. Today the presence of God is piercing me through and through, like a ray from the sun. My soul is longing for God so intensively that I fall into a swoon every now and then. I feel eternal love touching my heart, and my littleness cannot bear it, and this causes me to swoon. Still, my interior strength is great, and my soul wants to match the love with which it is loved. The soul at such moment has a very deep knowledge of God. And the more it comes to know him, the purer and more fervent does his love for him become. How unfathomable are the mysteries of the soul and God. We are made divine. So we have this character in ourselves. You have to trust that we are invited closer and closer to the Lord. So just don't think that all the sufferings can keep you away from the Lord. It's the way, his way. That's why he said, "Come and follow me, take up your cross." But my yoke is gentle and mild and sweet and light. Sometimes there are whole hours when my soul is lost in wonder at seeing the infinite majesty of God abasing itself to the level of my soul. Unending is my interior astonishment that the Most High is pleased in me and tells me to show himself. And I immerse myself even deeper in my nothingness because I know what I am of myself. I must say that in return, love my Creator to fully with every beat of my heart and with every nerve. My soul unconsciously drowns in him. I feel that nothing will separate me from the Lord, neither heaven nor earth, neither the present nor the future. Everything may change, but love never, never. It's always the same. He, the immortal mighty one, makes his will known to me that I may love him very specially. And he himself makes my soul capable of the kind of love with which he wants me to love him. I bury myself more and more in him, and I fear nothing. Love has overtaken my whole heart. Even if I were to be told of God's justice and of how even the pure soul spirit tremble and cover the face before him, saying endlessly, "Holy," which would seem to suggest that my familiarity with God would be to the detriment of his honor and majesty, I will reply, "Oh no, no," and once again, "No." In pure love, there is room for everything, the highest praise and the deepest adoration. Yet the soul is immersed in him in deepest peace through love. And the words of people speaking from the exterior have no effect upon that soul. So at times we seek consolation from the people. Of course, from people you trust, even with the virtuous people, still nothing can compare to that of Jesus. Go back to your seat and be there with the Lord. What he tells the soul about God is but a pale shadow in comparison to his own experience of him. And it is often surprised how other people can be struck with admiration at what someone else says about God, when for this soul it is nothing special, as it knows that what can be put into words is not yet that great. So this soul listens to everything with respect, but has his own special life in God. February 13, 1937. Today, during the Passion service, I saw Jesus being tortured and crowned with thorns and holding a reed in his hand. Jesus was silent as the soldiers were bustling about, vying with each other in torturing him. Jesus said nothing, but just looked at me. In that case, I felt his pain, so terrible that we have not the faintest idea of how much he suffered for us before he was crucified, before the cross already, the torture. My soul was filled with pain and longing. In my soul, I felt great hatred for sin. Not for sin, is it? Hatred for sin. And even the smallest infidelity on my part seemed to me like the huge mountain of which I must expiate by mortification and penance. When I see Jesus tormented, my heart is torn to pieces, and I think, what will become of sinners if they do not take advantage of the passion of Jesus? In his passion, I see the whole sea of mercy. They mean to say, we do not repent, and we go to the front, in front of Jesus, how much pain we will suffer. February 12, 1937. is praise for the Lord. It's a kind of praise. The Lord of God is the flower, mercy the fruits. Let a doubting soul read these considerations on divine mercy and become trusting. Divine mercy, gushing forth from the bosom of the Father, I trust in you. Divine mercy, greatest attribute of God, I trust in you. Divine mercy, incomprehensible mystery, I trust in you. Divine mercy, fonts casting forth from the mystery of the most blessed Trinity, I trust in you. Divine mercy, unfathomed by any intellect, human or angelic, I trust in you. Divine mercy, from which wells forth all life and happiness, I trust in you. Divine mercy, better than the heavens, I trust in you. Divine mercy, source of miracles and wonders, I trust in you. Divine mercy, encompassing the whole universe, I trust in you. Divine mercy, descending to the earth in the person of the incarnate Word, I trust in you. Divine mercy, which flowed out from the open wounds of the heart of Jesus, I trust in you. Divine mercy, enclosed in the heart of Jesus for us, an expression for sinners, I trust in you. Divine mercy, unfathomed in the institution of the sacred host, I trust in you. Divine mercy, in the founding of Holy Church, I trust in you. Divine mercy, in the sacrament of Holy Baptism, I trust in you. Divine mercy, in the justification through Jesus Christ, I trust in you. Divine mercy, accompanying us through our whole life, I trust in you. Divine mercy, embracing us, especially at the hour of death, I trust in you. Divine mercy, endowing us with immortal life, I trust in you. Divine mercy, accompanying us every moment of our life, I trust in you. Divine mercy, shielding us from the fire of hell, I trust in you. Divine mercy, in the conversing of hardened sinners, I trust in you. Divine mercy, astonishment for angels, incomprehensible to saints, I trust in you. Divine mercy, unfathomed in all the mysteries of God, I trust in you. Divine mercy, lifting us out of every misery, I trust in you. Divine mercy, source of our happiness and joy, I trust in you. Divine mercy, in calling us forth from the nothingness to existence, I trust in you. Divine mercy, embracing us all the works of his hands, I trust in you. Divine mercy, crown of all of God's handiwork, I trust in you. Divine mercy, in which we are all immersed, I trust in you. Divine mercy, sweet relief of anguished hearts, I trust in you. Divine mercy, only hope of despairing souls, I trust in you. Divine mercy, repose of hearts, peace amidst fear, I trust in you. Divine mercy, delight in ecstasy of whole souls, I trust in you. Divine mercy, inspiring hope against all hope, I trust in you. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasure of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase the mercy in us, that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become disappointed, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Amen. O incomprehensible and limitless merciful divine, take stowed and adored you worthily, who can? Supreme attribute of mighty God, you are the sweet hope of sinful men. Into one hymn yourselves unite stars and earth and sea, in one accord thankfully and fervently sing of the incomprehensible divine mercy. That's your prayer. The last prayer that we read also at the end of the divine chapter. My Jesus, you say that your will, your holy will, is everything to me. It makes no difference to me what you do with me. You command me to set to work, and I begin calmly, although I know that I am incapable of it. Through your representatives, you order me to wait, so I wait patiently. You fill my heart, my soul with enthusiasm, but you do not make it possible for me to act. You attract me to yourself in heaven, and you leave me in this world. You pour into my soul a great yearning for yourself, and you hide yourself from me. I'm dying of the desire to be united with you forever, and you do not let death come near me. O way of God, you are the nourishment and delight of my soul. When I submit to the holy will of my God, a deep peace floods my soul. O my Jesus, you do not give reward for a successful performance of a work, but for the goodwill and the labor undertaken. Therefore, I am completely at peace. And then, even if all my undertakings and efforts should be thwarted or should come of naught to naught, if I do all that it is in my power, the rest is not my business. And therefore, the greatest storms do not disturb the depths of my peace. The will of God dwells in my conscience. It's very important. The will of God for us is more important. February 15, 1937. Today, my suffering increased somewhat. I do not feel greater pain all through my lungs. I not only feel greater pain in all thoughts, in all through my lungs, but also some strange pains in my intestines. I'm suffering as much as my weak nature can bear. Oh, for immortal souls to plead the mercy of God for poor sinners and to beg for strength for priests. Oh, how much reverence I have for priests. I'm asking Jesus, the high priest, to grant them many graces. Today, after Holy Communion, the Lord told me, my daughter, my delight is to unite myself with you. It is when you submit yourself to my will that you give me the greatest glory and draw down upon yourself a sea of blessings. I will not take such grace, take such special delight in you if you were not living by my will. So what peace is Jesus that we want, we say our yes to his will, that what peace Jesus. If Jesus told so sin this way, Jesus would tell the same thing. It pleases him, whatever you do, in his will. Oh my sweet guest, I'm prepared for all the sacrifices for your sake. But you know that I'm weakness itself. Nevertheless, with you, I can do all things. Oh my Jesus, I beseech you, be with me at each instance. February 15, 1937. Today, I heard these words in my soul. Hosts pleasing to my Father. No, my daughter, that entire Holy Trinity finds its special delight in you because you live exclusively by the will of God. No sacrifice can compare with this. So this is still confirmed. But living the will of God is the best sacrifice we do. So it's very, so we are not that special. Everyone is different. Yeah, and you cannot compare with one another. They said she is better than you or not. There's no way you think this way. You said you are poor, you're weak. It's okay. In so as you do the will of God for you, it's the shoes for you, not for others, that you are invited always one is the Lord.